Hello, you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast, your audio source for the Chicago theater scene. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with the creative team from Circle Theater. Tom Williams will sit down and talk to Kevin Belli and Bob Knuth about their latest show, Meet Me in St. Louis. Also, we have another audio review for your listening pleasure. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax and get ready to talk some theater. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another even-handed episode of Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of November 27th, 2006. Since the holiday season is upon us, many theaters in Chicago are bringing out their holiday shows. And there are, as always, many to choose from to get you in the holiday mood. Of course, some popular classics will be returning again this year, and that certainly includes A Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater. This will be the final year of A Christmas Schooner at the Bailiwick Theater, so make sure you don't miss that. And of course, The Nutcracker will be showing at the Auditorium Theater, but you have many more to choose from, such as A Wonderful Life, done by Porchlight Music Theater, Chicago's most inventive musical theater company. Also, A Child's Christmas in Wales will be done by the Remy Bumpo Artistic Associates that will be showing at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. The Hypnus Carol will be done at the Apollo Theater. And A Christmas Story, a play based on the classic holiday film about little 8-year-old Ralphie Parker. Remember, for a full list of this season's holiday shows, just click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Well, the curtain has finally closed on the Chicago performances of The Pirate Queen. The show ended its pre-Broadway tryout at the Cadillac Palace Theater last Saturday. The musical was thought to have been extended a little bit further, but they needed more time to get ready for their March 6th opening at Broadway's Hilton Theater. Now, the March 6th opening date is 4 days later than the original announcement, but don't worry, it's only by 4 days. The cast will retain Stephanie J. Block and Hadley Frazier as the leads. And it'll bring on a couple of new members on the creative team. Joining director Frank Galati will be Richard Maltby. He'll be working with the writing team on the books and lyrics. And Graciela Danielle, who will be overseeing the musical staging. Congratulations goes to the Pirate Queen for a great run here in Chicago. We can't wait to see you on the tour. Richard Nelson's newest play, Frank's Home, started its world premiere on November 25th at the Goodman Theater. The show, which centers on Frank Lloyd Wright, stars Peter Weller and is directed by the legend Robert Falls. The show, which is a collaboration with Playwrights Horizons Theater in New York City, opens on December 5th. Next, it will be moving to the Big Apple in early 2007, so while it's here in Chicago, don't miss it. Well, the Stage Ticker has reported that Hershey Felder has decided to postpone his opening of Beethoven at the Royal George Theater. He has been touring under a hectic schedule internationally and has decided to take a little bit of time off to get some rest before he opens it. Beethoven, the final piece in his composer trilogy, will now be premiering in the fall of 2007. Well, news has come out that Michael Gennaro has left his position at the Paper Mill Playhouse to join his buddy Kurt Columbus at the Trinity Rep in Providence, Rhode Island. Michael Gennaro was once the executive director of Steppenwolf Theater here in Chicago, and he will be joining his former colleague at the Steppenwolf, Kurt Columbus, at Trinity Rep. Kurt Columbus left a few months ago to become the new artistic director of Trinity Rep and has now brought on his former colleague. Congratulations, Michael Gennaro. Well, thank you very much for listening to this even-handed episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. But before I let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from A Midsummer Night's Dream, Act 3, Scene 1. Bless thee, thou art translated. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it. Hi, I'm Dustin Moat, and you are listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast. The following is Tom Williams' review of Meet Me in St. Louis at Circle Theater. Meet Me in St. Louis at the Circle Theater was directed by Bob Canute, choreographed by Kevin Belly, music and lyrics by Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine. Sweet American musical still charms. Featuring a fine, cleverly stylized 1904 American parlor set and excellent period-perfect costumes by Suzanne Mann, Meet Me in St. Louis unfolds as a cute, nostalgic peek at the sweet, innocent time in Middle America. Based on the famous MGM film with Judy Garland, Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine penned The Trolley Song, as well as Have Yourself a Merry Christmas for this show. Meet Me in St. Louis is a true joy to behold. Circle Theater's production is pleasant, tuneful, with ambitious dances that give the musical zestful energy. Daraquin Dolan almost steals the show as Tootie Smith, the 8-year-old precious little girl with the sparkle in her eyes and a big grin that, together with her cute voice, wins our hearts. Add excellent work from Russ Rayner as Grandpa, as well as Patty Honaki as the mother, and we have a strong supporting cast that completes the show. Jennifer T. Grubb as Rose and Bailey Morgan as Esther star in this production. From Morgan's The Boy Next Door, we are swept back to 1904 St. Louis, where the Smiths are a middle-class family awaiting the opening of the St. Louis World's Fair. We see the daily life, where the older teen girls are anxious to date, and the younger children are navigating life in the city. The Smiths are a lovable family ruled by their father, played by Brian Rabinowitz. The show follows Rose and Esther's pursuits for a social life. The show is peppered with 9 new songs written especially for the stage production. Dance numbers such as Skip to My Lou and the smart and energetic The Banjo highlighted this production. Kevin Belly always gets his ensemble to deliver fine dance routines on Circle's intimate stage. I especially like the vocals from Bailey Morgan's Esther together with Sean Effinger-Dean's Lawn. Meet Me in St. Louis is a cute, family-friendly musical that contains all the sweetness and charm of those early days in America before all the trauma hit. Those innocent days are cherished. Circle Theater's excellent production sings well and dances excellently. There are laughs here and pure fun performances from Daraquin Dolan and Liz Schmidt. The show is for families and works nice as a holiday treat. The rating for this show is recommended. Meet Me in St. Louis is now playing at the Circle Theater, which is located at 7300 West Madison in Forest Park, Illinois. The running time is 2 hours and 25 minutes with intermission, and the show closes on December 30th, 2006. For more information, call 708-771-0700. Again, that's 708-771-0700. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast. I'm Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guests today are the heart and soul of Circle Theater, one of the finest non-equity theaters in the Western suburbs. Our guests today are Kevin Belli, who is the artistic director, and Bob Knuth, who is, did I say your name right?
Knuth,
I'm sorry, who is the producing director, and they have a hit show going, Meet Me in St. Louis. Say hello, Bob.
Hi, everybody out there.
Kevin.
Hi.
Okay, tell us now, Bob, since you're directing this show and you're the producing director, what made you guys do Meet Me in St. Louis?
I think after last season, we decided we really needed a holiday show, a show with heart to go up at this time. We had done a newer work, a play during the holiday season, which didn't work out probably so well financially and audience-wise. So that probably is the reason why it was top on the list. The next thing would be trying to pick a show that wasn't Christmas Carol or wasn't, one of the overdone classics, Scrooge or whatever. So we looked through what was available, and Kevin actually had directed the show with our youth program a number of years ago, and it's really a charming show because it goes through almost all the holidays leading up to Christmas. And we thought, wow, what a perfect fit. What a great family show.
It was a very good judgment. I love the show. I thought you guys did a terrific job. And Kevin, I've got to ask you about the choreography, because I never can understand how you can get as many dancers on that stage and have them deliver like they did.
I'm used to it now after years of doing it, really honestly very used to it, because it's so nice to work in a big space, small space, whatever. I just think you just have to adapt to what it is. This one had I had nice opportunities because it was American folk dance, and so I got to do square dance, and I got to do all sorts of things, the cakewalk, all sorts of fun things. So I really got opportunities to recreate American folk dance. And the nice thing is all these things are supposed to be happening in certain locations, like all the things at the party are taking place in someone's parlor. So they are in a small space. Even in an old Victorian house, they're in a small space. So
yeah, Bob,
it actually works well.
Bob, what you do with set design is incredible, because folks, if you haven't seen the stage, it's low and it's not real deep or real wide. It's one of those you can't believe, all right, you look at the set and it looks terrific. And you think, well, that's great. But then it kind of moves into other things and comes apart. And you've done that in all your shows. And it's kind of, I almost anticipate what it's going to look like.
Well, thank you. Same with Kevin. You know, after years of working in that space, you kind of learn its little tricks and its little corners and its little nooks. And we use every single inch of that stage. The proscenium is only 18 feet wide. And depending on where I decide the back wall is, it's about 25 to 30 feet deep. So it's very deep, but it's your typical storefront theater based on a 22-foot wide room that most storefronts are. And the wall thing kind of developed over the years. I think I have probably used it in every show of this size, because it's an easy way to change locations quickly and just kind of come up with new ways, tricky ways to literally take every inch on that stage and use it for some part of the set.
And it really works too. I mean, when the trolley car came out for the trolley song, that was dynamite.
The trolley, I think, and I didn't even realize this till we were in Tech Week, because the audience does sit there for about 45 minutes looking at a, you know, box set with very high detailed, you know, moldings and wallpapers. And then the way the act one ends, it breaks open and this trolley comes, you know, barreling towards the audience. And even I was kind of surprised, like, oh, yeah, that's right. The audience may not know this is going to happen. Or a lot of people in previews told us, we just didn't think there was going to be a trolley. We thought, oh,
right,
they would
be in the front of the stage, you know, singing the song.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of companies, I think, do stage it that way. But we're like, you know, if we're going to do the show, we got to have a trolley. So we built one.
Well, you add that to the costuming. The period perfect costuming.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. Suzanne Mann did the costume.
She is fabulous.
She's amazing. First time working at Circle. We had a huge group of people working on them, but they were all based on Suzanne's designs, which were all lovely and really vintage perfect. I mean, any company in the city from Marriott Lincolnshire to, you know, the Goodman would be overjoyed to have these costumes. They're unbelievably made and they're impeccable even up close. I mean,
I was close and I was like 10 feet away and the wigs, yeah. Everything was.
They're works of art. She did a great job. Anita Hoffman did the wigs. She did a beautiful job. It's just, with that and the set, it's this is many of the people at Circle are saying that this show for us is the height of design. It's just the highest it can get.
Tell us about how you cast shows like this, because you guys are non-equity.
Mm-hmm. We just do the usual open call in Chicago, you know, putting it out there. The league's website, I think, has helped us a lot. Performic, of course, is important to, you know, getting the word out. We also have a base of actors that we use. There's a handful of actors in this show that I had worked with before in my previous show, Dear World, that are back. But we put the shout out there. This show called for a lot of young people, and I was very fortunate to get the word out to the universities. We have quite a few Columbia students, DePaul students in the show.
Yeah, and I think it worked. It's good to see some new faces.
Sure.
And it's good that you guys give an opportunity to these kids to, you know, to learn their craft and to, you know, to get into the break into the professional world.
Circle has a history of that, actually. We have a junior company member program that's been in existence for a long time, which allows students in high school age and even younger to kind of apprentice with us. And they're there helping us build the sets, you know, with costumes, everything. And that's led to our youth program to grow and grow and become really popular. And we do 4 shows a year with the youth program, all musicals, pretty full-blown as well as our stage shows.
Definitely.
And those shows will have 40 to 50 children in them on those exact same stages you see our other shows. So Kevin also choreographs those. I don't know how he does that, but he makes them look amazing.
What's the key to that with 40 kids on? That's like violates every rule of doing theater, doesn't it?
It probably does. But you know what? The kids that we use at Circle are really, really, really talented. And economy of space at Circle is really important, but also being really, really tight and precise is really important. So if a dance looks messy, if there are 8 people on stage, it's going to look more crowded than 20 really clean people. So a really tight and, you know, precise dancers. So I think the key is repetition and making it tight and pretty and lovely.
All right. Since you guys are not equity when it comes to the dancers, you can find some people who have dance experience, but how much of it are you teaching them actually the steps? You know, I mean, almost how to dance.
Well, for me, we almost never hold dance auditions, almost never. We might for Mac and Mabel, which is coming up. We might. And I say might because for me, I've kind of gotten a reputation for being the person that just teaches non-dancers how to dance. And I guess it's because it's sort of some stupidity on my own part. I don't, I just assume that everyone is going to be able to do the step. And I don't wait to see how they dance. I just create the dance and I make everyone do it, whether they like it or not. And
it's a good philosophy. It
has never hurt me yet. Yeah. But, you know, once in a while, you'll see that someone's not as good at a step as you would like them to be. And you might have to do some private tutoring or make it come up to par. But I very, very, very seldom have to change choreography for an actor.
Well, almost that's great. And that's good for actors. Any of the actors listening, they should come and audition for your shows, because not only are they going to get a chance, they're going to be learning their craft.
I hope so.
Well, some of the past shows you guys have done, what do you think are the best, some of the best shows? Among my favorites, Jane Eyre.
Beautiful.
The Secret Garden.
These are all Bob's shows.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with that.
Mystery of Edwin Drood.
That was Kevin's show.
That was terrific. And you guys really made that work.
Oh, I'm so glad you liked it. We liked it too. There are so many at Circle that I love. Some of the ones that I really think have been lovely recently, I thought Design for Living was gorgeous.
Yes.
And I say that because I didn't have very much to do with it, so I think it's fair for me to say those kind of things. There are so many productions that we do at Circle that I really, really, really enjoy. I really enjoyed the Credo Canvas that we did at Circle. Totally different, but in the same sort of realm of what we do, I really enjoyed that. There have been things that we've done on our main stage and also in our youth program that I've just been immensely proud of. Our youth program did a production of Into the Woods, which is a really difficult musical for adults. And the kids did an amazing job. We have 2 really great directors, Kelly Schumann and Catherine Ferraro, both actors on our main stage, that directed that show. And they made a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous production. And that is a testament to them, but also to really talented young people that work with us. I think one of the things that makes Circle special, and I hope people think that too, is that we have a very diverse group of shows that we do. You never know what to expect.
You're leading me right into where I wanted to go with this. First thing I want to mention is how you guys take these failed musicals that failed on Broadway And I know when they're over, sometimes they say, well, we should have done this, or we if we give the rights out, we're going to change the number. So my question is, what, number one, how do you make these failed musicals work? Because all the ones I've seen, even if the material isn't that great, they've been presentable and they've been enjoyable, and they've been way better than the tours. So that, and how much of a benefit do you get from, you know, when you get the licensing right, where they've, you know, have the they say, don't do this, or we found, you know, here's the change we want.
Well, with those shows, they seem to be a little more lenient with what we can do with them, because they know they perhaps didn't.
Like Dear World and the
Jane Eyre. Thou Shalt Not, Jane Eyre. Yeah. Those shows all had troubled Broadway runs. I think one thing that Circle offers immediately to these productions is when they become more intimate and we make them into what we would call chamber musicals, it immediately starts to solve a lot of the problems that they may have had on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Jane Eyre. Yeah, they overproduce them on Broadway.
Exactly. Yeah. Dear World is a great example of that, which, you know, we were hoping by bringing to our space would solve some of those issues. But Jane Eyre is a great example, or Thou Shalt Not. Once you bring it into an intimate setting where the audience can relate better to those characters, and you get rid of some of the scenery and you get rid of some of the, you know, extravagant lighting stuff, you focus on the story. And that's, you got to have a great story before you go anywhere else. Jane Eyre sounds like a sweeping epic, and it is, because it's a great epic book and there's a million characters. But if you look at the heart of that story, it's about a man and a woman, right, and falling in love and overcoming, you know, things to fall in love. And when you bring that and you put it 5 feet in front of somebody, they can't help but be moved.
I agree.
Yeah. But among all of them, I think The Secret Garden is one of my favorites that you guys have done.
Secret Garden is definitely one of the ones that we're the most proud of at Circle. It's just, it was a beautiful production. And
But you made it dance, was, too.
Well, that was, I asked for that.
But it added a lot to it.
That was, it is not a show that you would think of having a lot of dance in, but it's a show that I know in the London production they had a lot of dance in it. And, you know, I love the things that that you see in London. I love the musicals you see in London. I think they have a different sensibility than American musicals. And I felt like that was going to infuse The Secret Garden with something special. When I saw The Secret Garden the first time I saw it in its national tour, I thought it was such a snore.
Because it was overproduced. Another one of those.
And the story is, in essence, a little bit boring. No offense, but it's a little bit boring.
It can be. And almost an opera.
Right. Sure. But then in the end, I thought like a little bit of dance would enliven it. And then really beautiful scenic design helped enliven it. And just exciting performances that weren't, they did a lot of sort of ghostly floating in the original Broadway. And I didn't like that at all.
I think that's a great example. Of a show that Kevin and I really collaborated on.
My questions. That was the next thing of who decides what to do in these shows.
I love that story, and I think and for Circle at the time when we brought it, you know, just when the company decides on our shows actually and they vote on them, it was kind of a risk because we hadn't done a show like that. But right. When we looked at the downfalls of why when it was produced, especially the tour, I think on Broadway it was considered a success, but the tour, I saw the first and the second string, and I don't want to put any, you know, companies down, but when they looked out to the audience and said, look at the garden, and the lights changed, it was just not very compelling, and it wasn't very satisfying.
I agree. I thought it was Northwestern did a better job than the
exactly.
Tour.
I saw that production too. And so when we looked at it, we're like, we need to make it human, because they were dealing with the ghosts and the dead so much. And we're like, you know what? If we bring this and make it human, the London production did it so well, let's have the servants really manipulate the show. The ghosts are there. The ancestors are there. They're singing. They're definitely a part of the story. And they did become a tool in our production towards the end. But the servants, you know, becoming the dance through line to the whole thing and kind of around the edges and always watching and helping Mary on her way made it a really endearing production. And I am very proud of that production. And I think Kevin is too, because it was some of our best work that we've done on that scale.
So let's talk about how you guys select plays, because, all right, you've done mainstream musicals, and you've done these, what I call these, resurrected these failed shows and made them work, which is a major, you know, if that's what your reputation is, that's a good place to be, because somebody's got to bring some of those shows back. But then you guys do some cutting edge dramatic plays. You guys don't generally direct those, am I right? You guys,
we don't generally direct them, but Bob definitely designs the sets for them. And
well, Steel Magnolias.
Right, and certainly awesome. I'm involved in the production in whatever ways, whether it be consulting with the director or working on props or whatever it might be. Everyone at our company is always intimately involved in our productions, but they're also very intimately involved in choosing the season. Our season is chosen by our entire company. The process actually just started for next season, which doesn't start
until everybody has a say in it?
Yep. Oh, we everyone gets the opportunity to put in some shows or to host a guest from outside the company to put in some shows. We usually suggest that if someone is bringing in some shows, they bring in two or three. So there's some options. They present the shows. They tell us pros and cons. And really the most important thing we always look at in a show is why should this be done at Circle? What would Circle's production say about this show? And then from there, the company gets a very intense ballot that lists all the shows, and then they have to write comments on each of them and pros and cons. And it's not just a simple yes or no. It's why you want us to do it, why we shouldn't do it. And then in the end, it comes back to myself and Bob and Peter Storms, the managing director, and we balance those comments because they're not always cut and dry. It's like I said, it's not a yes or no. So it's not just simply this one got 10 votes and this one got 8. It's this one got 7 yeses and 3 maybes and 2 no, but if you have to, I like this better than the other. You have to really work it out. And we finally decide on the season. But I would say almost unequivocally each year, it's very obvious what the company wants us to do with very few exceptions. And this year was no exception to that.
You guys are brave. I mean, you've done some cutting edge work and some controversial plays.
You know, the one thing, I don't know that it's so much bravery as much as we want to do cool art. That's exciting because it's never going to be fun. Well, personally for me, and this is terrible, I'm going to have to say a show, but I don't love Blythe Spirit. It's not my favorite show in the world. And it would not bring me a ton of joy to do work on it because I wouldn't have anything exciting to say about it. But I love shows that say something to me, and they don't always say something to everyone. But if I can see what it says to me and what it would say to our audience, that's really important to me. Like if I think our audience is going to be excited by it, like I know our audience loves Meet Me in St. Louis and they're overjoyed to see it. So that's what I love. Escanaba in the Moonlight was a weird choice for us because it was a comedy. It was lots of men. It was wacky, and audiences loved it. It was amazing, and we had the right director for it, Rob Chambers, who did a beautiful job with it, and it was just fun, and that's all it was supposed to be. And that our audiences adored it. I mean, they could not get enough of it. We could have ran that show for like 6 more weeks, but Circle's in the business of producing theater, not in constantly producing the same show. We want to do lots of new shows.
So do you have a subscription base?
We do. It's called a Flex Pass at Circle.
Oh, you're doing the Flex Pass.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
We like to think we thought of it first, but maybe we were wrong.
Maybe
we were wrong. Well, everyone else seems to have got it after us, but I'm sure somewhere in the world had it.
I think you might be right because I remember you sending me something about the Flex Pass, and then all of a sudden I saw it. So I don't know who started, but I do remember you guys were.
Well, we were certainly near the beginning.
Oh, okay.
But we love it. We love it because it allows our audiences to see what they want, when they want, without any hassle. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, but I mean the variety. The next play you have coming up is an Adam Rapp show. That's a little bit different than Meet Me in St. Louis.
Well, you know, we found a great director, Joni Schultz, a girl that I went to college with at Columbia, and she's right for this show. She's a friend of Adam Rapp's. We're going to be presenting the Chicago premiere of the show. That's important to us to be able to bring something to Chicago that wouldn't be here and do it first. And it's also really important to us to present a different perspective, and it's definitely a different perspective. Any theater that can present Meet Me in St. Louis followed by Stone Cold Dead Serious is a theater that's choosing shows to sort of bring new ideas to the table.
I have immense respect for that, you know, that you guys don't play it safe.
And we usually don't, but sometimes the safe choices we choose, I have to be honest, someone might say Meet Me in St. Louis is safe. That was not a safe choice for us by any means. It's definitely the most expensive show we've ever produced by far.
Just the costuming sets alone.
So, I mean, that's not a safe choice for us.
Yeah,
it's a terribly daunting task going into something knowing that you have to sell this blank amount of tickets and this. So that's not a safe choice for us. Those big musicals are not safe choices by any means.
And a backstory, too, about the company is we are all volunteers. So.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
The set, not one hired carpenter built that set. It was built by all volunteers and people coming in.
15 to 60. Everyone built that set.
So that too is a risk because pushing the company that hard for a big production.
Absolutely.
And all these productions we've actually mentioned, I would put in that category of big for us have, you know, they wear on the company. And so it also helps, you know, to to pick a play that's a little bit smaller and that kind of we kind of get a little rest and then we come back with full force for the next one after that.
Well, Mac and Mabel, you're going to direct that, Kevin?
I am.
I mean, that's a big dance. Your what's the big song?
Tap Your Troubles
Tap
Away.
Tap Your Troubles Away, yeah.
You know what? We saw it in London just, five, 6 months ago? More than that. A year ago, I guess now. Maybe. It was over Easter.
Over Easter,
so it was about
yeah.
8 years, mm-hmm. about 8 months ago. And when we saw it, they did the version of, what's his name, Doyle. His last name is Doyle, and I can't think of his first name. But he's the guy who directed Sweeney Todd on Broadway and just the recent one and directed Company on Broadway.
Where the actors Company. All play instruments?
John Doyle. Okay, yeah. And it was all the actors playing their instruments, and it was a very stripped-down production. And although it was beautifully performed, it did not excite me to watch it. I wanted to see lots of people tapping their troubles away, and I'll be happy to have them tap their troubles away at Circle. And I love the show. It's so funny because I clearly have no idea of what is a good book and what is not, because when I read that book, I really adored the book, and I think it's charming and sweet and lovely. And
I agree.
A real person's story. It's about two people who were in Hollywood, but had real normal personalities that were flawed and were fabulous and were terrible all at the same time, and that's why I love it.
Well, I interviewed Jerry Herman a few years back, and he told me he absolutely cannot believe that show didn't become as big a hit as Hello, Dolly. It's the exact same team.
Well, and everyone thinks it's his best score.
Yeah.
And so you wonder what could have happened to it. And he had two huge leading stars with Bernadette Peters and Robert Preston. I don't know why it wouldn't have been a success. But I think another thing I would say is that any show we have found that any show that we revive, if it was said in the original Broadway Review, you could almost bring it, word for word, it'll be said at Circle the same way. Some reviewer will say exactly what everyone said on Broadway. And in many, many cases, the comment is no longer valid. We had many reviews for Thou Shalt Not that brought up things that simply didn't exist in our production, but that was said in the original Broadway Review. And so it's a bummer to read those kind of things. I wish they'd just watch our show for us.
Yeah, because your shows are like that show, for example, you added a lot of dance to it, didn't you?
It had a lot of dance in it because Susan Stroman did it. But I think many people said it was not as good as the Broadway, who hadn't seen the Broadway. How could they possibly know if it was as good as? I saw the Broadway production, and so I know that our production did something different. I don't know if it was better, but it was extremely different than the Broadway. And so it was our interpretation. And you know what? I adored doing it. That was a hugely rewarding production to me. I'm a choreographer. So, I mean, yes, I'm a director too, but
it sang very well.
That's exciting. Yeah. And I love the people I worked with. I got to work with dancers that had a bit more experience. It was just a lot of fun. And one of my favorite dancers, my dance captain, Kelly Schumann, we had so much fun choreographing that show. I didn't know what to do with myself. It was just a joy. So sometimes not everyone likes the stuff you like the most.
Yeah, that's true.
So
tell us about what else. You have Mac and Mabel, and then what's Tent Meeting?
Tent Meeting is it's a very, very dark comedy, but very cool show. It's about a Baptist preacher whose daughter he finds that his daughter is pregnant, and he has no idea how she got pregnant. The three character play. It's also his son. It's his son, his daughter, and him. And he decides that there's no way this daughter could have gotten pregnant. It's impossible. It must be the second coming of Jesus Christ. So he then goes across the country to try to tell everyone about it. But the baby is, when it's born, is deformed. And so he says that's another sign that's Jesus. He was sent down to earth to be different.
Sounds interesting.
The story goes from there. So it's comedic, but it's also very touching and sometimes really heart-wrenching and lovely. And then we have Ideal Husband, which is by the same guy who directed Design for Living, Jim Schneider, and will be just the same sort of affair with
big Oscar Wilde shows.
Right, and luscious and lovely and all kinds of gorgeous costumes and costumes by Elizabeth Schaefer, who did Dear World for us and did Queen Lucia really beautifully and just gorgeous costumes all the time.
So, Bob, you're going to put a big fancy set for that?
That's another big fancy one. So I heard someone muddle during a work call the other day, no more rich people sets, but so we'll lead up to that, and we've got some grand ideas. So it's definitely one to watch for.
So you guys are unpaid so-called volunteers.
Right? There are stipends paid to some positions and certain things, and certainly some of our designers get paid, and our musicians get paid, and the actors get paid a very small stipend. We of course wish it could be more, but it by no means is a pay. I would not call it a paid position. It is just what it is. It's in many cases gas money. or a train fare or something
so
like that.
So it's strictly for the love of theater.
Well, and I think for many, many people, they've used Circle as a stepping stone, and we're not opposed to that, because they're, you know, young actors on their way up, or people just starting back into the business, or people who just really want to do a great, exciting, fabulous show that they could never do anywhere else. I mean, you couldn't do a production of, you know, some weird cut, like Sweet Smell of Success. We were so lucky to find Michael Mahler, who was amazing.
Yes, he's a talent. Well, he'll be a big equity star.
I think he's just about there.
Yeah,
so, but close. I'm sure glad we got him first, because that was exciting to have him first.
And you've had a number of people who move on here.
Amy Sparrow, who played Mary in Secret Garden, was just debuted on Broadway.
In Lestat.
She was in the ensemble and ready to go on.
Terrific. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's 3 short years from Circle Theater, and that was her first big production, you know, as a young actress. So
she was terrific.
Cannot take full credit, of course, but it makes us very proud to know that, you know,
sure does,
that she started there. And it's funny, I think people didn't know what to think of little Amy, you know, because she was so ahead of herself, you know, as a young person, as an actress.
Let's go back. That brings me back to Meet Me in St. Louis. Tell us about the little girl.
She's Bob's fine. She is a dynamo. She is a dynamo.
She
cracks me up during rehearsals because she's very, very funny. And she's a kid. She's a child.
She's what, 8 years old?
Right. She's 8 years old. It's funny. I've got an email, Steve. Sorry about this. But he wrote me an email saying, how do I talk to her to give her notes? And I'm like, just talk to her like you would anybody else and email her mother. but no, she's a lovely young lady and just a trooper, and she is so smart and so talented. The things that we work on are, you know, trying to keep her focused so she doesn't get bored, because she's so ahead of herself.
Right.
It's amazing. And she's doing a great job. And, you know, again, halfway through Tech Week, you know, I had to remind myself that she is a child. You know, we're all back there trying to get ready for the show, and everyone's putting their costume on, and you know, we got to remember that Dara's 8 and she needs to know where her shoes are and maybe even how to lace them up, because they're turn of the century shoes. And so it's been a really exciting, you know, show to do.
Well, let's give us a little plug now for the show. What days you're playing and where Circle Theater is. This is your, because I think people are interested enough. And Meet Me in St. Louis is, you know, I enjoyed it. And,
I'm so
and
glad.
Audiences really loved it too. I could, you know, we were talking about the feeling, how audiences can,
absolutely,
can feel. And they one really thing, like the show.
One thing I would say even before that is that what I love about it is it. If you love the movie, you will love this production.
Yes, because, and I love the movie.
Especially Suzanne has taken a lot of time to do replicas of the original design with her own twist on each of them. So a lot of the costumes were designed based on original drawings done by all these amazing people like Irene Sharaf and all these amazing designers from the original film. So it's amazing. But our show runs through December 30th, and it runs.
Tell us where the Circle Theater is.
Sure. It's at Forest Park is the city, which is just about 7 miles out of downtown. And the address is 7300 West Madison Street. And the show runs through the 30th of December, with shows on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 3. There are no shows on Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve or December 23rd, but shows on every other day. And it's just a charming show to bring the entire family to.
What's the ticket price?
It's $24 for adults and $22 for students and seniors.
Full-blown musical for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a deal.
Yeah, and there's plenty of area parking that's totally
free.
Oh,
yeah. We've never had a problem parking.
So that's
and
free.
What's the phone number if they want to get tickets?
708-771-0700, extension 1.
Okay, I had to get that commercial in.
I love that.
Okay, so tell us now, what's the future for each of you and for Circle Theater? Bob, let's start with you. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Well, that's a big question to ask after coming off a big show. I'm actually right now just kind of winding down from Meet Me in St. Louis, and already had meetings and already designing the next show. So right away in the immediate future, it's getting through this season, you know, knowing that we have a big, luscious set at the end of the season. But during that, we will start to look for shows for next season over the next 3 months. So I'm looking through scripts. And
I got one I've been trying to get somebody to do.
All right, throw it at us. We'll take
Meet
suggestions.
Meet Me would be Tree Grows in Brooklyn, the musical.
Okay, I've never heard the musical.
Oh, you get the score.
I'll listen to it.
And it's a big dance show.
Okay, yeah. I didn't even know that. Well, yeah. All right.
It was a artistic success in New York, but it opened against all the great shows in the 50s. And
it kind of got lost in there.
Yeah, and it's a costume.
That sounds like us.
It's the same. Yeah.
That is
it's
us.
It's right in her. And There was some problems with the ending. You might and down on Illinois Center, they changed the ending because it had kind of a dark ending that hurt it. Although I think today it would probably work even the original. But look into that one.
Great. Great. That's, thank you for the suggestion.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, my God. That is a great question. And I'm not really sure. You know, I am the art director at the Second City. And that, you know, I've been there for a year and a half. And so I think they have some big plans for me. So I'm kind of, you know, Circle Theater is always in my heart. And I'm going to, you know, obviously continue to work there.
You got to do the day job too, right?
But the day job, you can't ignore that. And I think there's some opportunities. That company is growing so quickly, and we've got venues, you know, all over the nation. And I think they're looking at me to maybe do some set design, which is exciting for the next show here in Chicago and perhaps some of the other venues, Toronto, Vegas. I'm not really sure. I've kind of just been, you know, making art at Circle for about 7 or 8 years now. Very, very, very happy. You know, I had opportunities to travel and become a, you know, full-time scenic designer, and I just really wanted a home to live in and be comfortable. And but now that these opportunities are coming forward, you know, I'm not sure where that's gonna lead me personally. But it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is, because you know there's gonna be fun down the end of the road. All right, Kevin, what about you? I know Chris Jones made a comment. Why is this guy gonna get hired to choreograph a big time show?
Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I'm happy doing what I do, and I'll continue to do the things that I do right now and be happy doing them for a while. The things I love in my life are, I do love doing theater, but I adore my gorgeous goddaughter, who is just about 8 months old now. She's beautiful, Vivian. And I adore my nieces and my nephew and my family. And so I love those things. And I would love to spend more time with my family and do those kind of things.
Well, you also have a career at St. Ignatius, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I do. And I love that. It's a great school. Really wonderful.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best schools. Yes, it is.
And we're so lucky, because one thing that we both love to do is travel. And we do a lot of traveling. And I think it gives us like new refreshment to go on to the next show. And so we get... I have a pretty great life that I'm really happy with. You know, some people may say, oh, well, you're not super successful. And that's okay with me. I have a super happy family, and I love my job, and I love the places I work, and I really adore creating exciting art. And so that's what I'm going to keep doing for the next 5 years.
Well, that's a nice subscription. Now, last question. Who decides who's going to direct what show?
You could almost tell when you pick the shows, don't you think?
Yeah. I tend to lean a little bit towards more family.
What does that say about me?
Fair. And Kevin will go for a little more sexy and a little darker, perhaps.
Those tend to have more dance in them. Yeah. That's probably why.
And that's the other thing. Though, you know, Triumph of Love would be a show we didn't talk about tonight that was a huge success for us. It failed on Broadway, and we brought it to Circle. One of his best shows, one of my best sets. But then on the opposite end of the coin, another huge success for both of us, we're very proud of, is The Life. First time off Broadway.
I did not see that, but that's a great show.
And I think someone else is going to be doing it.
Boho is doing it.
Yeah, they are going to do it.
We got that first out of New York. No one else wanted to touch it. A huge success. One of my best sets. One of Kevin's best shows, directing and choreographing. So it was... It just kind of shows a little bit, you know, I'm more of a secret guard and he's maybe more of...
But then there are some shows that cross over between the two of us, and we just kind of decide what works best, because we kind of know what fits for us. And usually someone falls in love with the show more than the other. So that's a good reason to want to do things, being passionate.
And it sounds like it's the creative process, working together.
Absolutely.
You don't hear any competition. It's all about creating the art.
We have very different views on art, and so that's good, because we have two very different ideas.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys. This has been terrific. And folks, get out to see shows at Circle Theater. They're one of the theater companies that I trust. It's one of those that, yeah, you want to know what show, but, you know, if you just get out there and call up and get a ticket, you're going to see a good show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck to you guys, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Great. Thanks. Great.
Thank you, and go see a play this week, folks.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Kevin Belli and Bob Canute from Circle Theater for allowing us to interview them this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer, who without their work each week, this show would not be possible. And also, we would like to thank you, our listener. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.